You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We begin the first hour with Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. Brian and Jamie discuss whether there should be an age limit on Congress. They discuss what the cap should be and how that change would come about.
Barely solid and better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. Hopefully you are having a great start to your day. If you're in Madison listening on WMDX or in Eau Claire listening on 93.5 The Tap or even in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR, we are glad that you decided to join us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. You know, there's mandatory retirement ages in a lot of fields, and yet we do not have them for our politicians. So do you think there should be an age cap? Not gap, cap. Old folks need not apply for our politicians. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to 100% full-throated say yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. There is no reason that Chuck Grassley, and this has nothing to do with party. I think Joe Biden was too old. I think Donald Trump is too old. I think Chuck Grassley is too old twice. I think, all these guys and ladies, Diane Feinstein? Yeah.
She literally died in office.
Yes. They kept her alive just so she could vote. Stop with this. Well, I'm not the only one who thinks that way. An overwhelming majority of Americans, actually 8 in 10, are in favor of setting age caps as well as term limits for members of Congress, according to the latest NPR PBS News Marist poll. Count me as one of those 8.
Yes.
So both ideas are hypothetical because, God forbid, we actually make significant change. Neither is being seriously considered by Congress, one, because they don't wanna, and two, because maybe they're too old to read them. Support for each cuts across many backgrounds and party lines. The poll found 78% of Democrats support both age caps and term limits, and 83% of Republicans backed maximum age limits. Nearly 9 in 10 supported term limits. So why? I know it's hypothetical, but why aren't we doing it? We talk about it all the time. There's no, if at 65, and 65 is not old.
No.
65, you can still do a lot of stuff. But in the private sector, 65, people are being put out to pasture who
right.
could still do their job very well.
Yeah.
Why are we having 92-year-olds and 84-year-olds? And this is not ageist at all.
No.
Because I'm closer to those ages than I am to Parker's age. But
I mean, there's
it's time.
There's term limits for the president. So why aren't there term limits for the people?
Well, there used to be.
There should be. There is constitutionally. There is what we know as
Jimmy.
Of right now. But for people in Congress, there should also be term limits. And these people should not be serving for decades. In some cases, a literal lifetime. Chuck Grassley, who you mentioned, is one of those people. Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, you mentioned right. Chuck Schumer as well. The list actually goes on and on. We have more people right now serving in Congress who have been in their seat for 30 plus years or more
ridiculous.
We have for less than a decade.
This is not how the system was set up. And their defense is, well, the first couple of years you're in, you're still getting your footing and you can't really get stuff done. Well, how about this? I don't get 2 years at my job to get my footing.
Right.
I get probably, if I'm lucky, 60 days, most likely 30 days. In some cases, you better hit the ground running that first day or you're out. So if you're running, you should have plans in place
mm-hmm.
and you should be ready to make a mark. Because how it was set up, this whole system was farmers and everybody came in, they did a little time in Congress, and then they went back to their real jobs.
Right.
Congress was not supposed to be a job where you could make millions and millions of dollars instead of serving the people. This was not the, and I know things change, but the whole system that we operate under was meant as to serve, not to profit. And it is not turned out that way at all.
I mean, I would love to see some sort of change in several rules that apply to members of Congress, not only from the term limits. I also think, and again, this isn't ageist, but as we get older, sometimes our brains just aren't as sharp. We're tired. I think there should also be a cap on when people can actually throw their hat into the ring to actually run.
That gets to the cap. If you decide to run, let's say the cap is 70.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say.
Sure.
Senate's six year term. You can't run after 64.
Right.
You're going to age out. And unless you want to serve, then on your 70th birthday, we have a sheet cake from Costco as we toss your behind out of the Capitol. That's not going to work. So yes, you have to. You got to have that.
Right.
You got to have the age thing in there. And this is just what was interesting about this, because I know there's some people who are probabilistic going, they just don't like old people. Well, in this poll, it didn't matter. Old people were just as likely to support age caps and term limits as younger voters. So everybody outside of Congress who is not, bellied up to the trough making their money, looks at this and says, yeah, this makes sense. There's no reason this is happening.
If you want to chime in this morning, we'd love to hear from you. If you think there should be an age cap for politicians, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. Jim chimes in over on our text line this morning. He says a money cap needs to be introduced. I fully agree with that as well. I believe when I say that there should be several reforms put into place for members of Congress, how much they can actually profit, what they're able to invest in, how they're able to make money while they're in office, all of those things need to be top to bottom looked at again. And I know they've tried. It's actually been the Republicans who have chose to not take those bills up. And in fact, Wisconsin's old Ron Johnson had many, many words to say about how Congress people should actually be able to profit while in office. But,
listening to what you just said, and I know Rojo loves to make that bag. Is that going to make it worse or better? Is if I know I only have 2 to 3 terms in the Senate, I got to make my money fast. So I can't
milk this at all. Like
I understand that.
I would love to see something where they absolutely, not only is there an age cap, but you can't profit at all. You can't make any sort of money.
We already have that for the presidency, and that's, you see how that's working.
Well, it's not working well, obviously.
It's not working well at all.
Remember, we need reforms. I truly believe that there are some places of government that need major reform.
It makes sense to just pull back a little bit. And here's what they say. Besides the, it takes us a while to get going. Well, who's going to run? If we have to have Congress people run every couple terms, or their term limits are up and we got to find new candidates, how are we going to find new candidates? There's probably not really corrupt old people anymore. So you got to find maybe less corrupt young people, maybe some fresh ideas, maybe start with the top, the president. Maybe we need to we definitely need to start an age limit on the president.
Sure.
Right now.
There's already an age where they have to be to run, right?
You got to be 35 to run. So if you got to be 35 to run, I think you got to retire and I know the other argument. There's going to be some people here who are 75, 80. Maybe they're listening to us and they're, I'm still really sharp. I can make decisions. Yes, you can. But I want you to go and sit with all your friends. Are all your other 80-year-old friends as able to make those decisions? I'm going to guarantee no. So the exception cannot be the rule here.
There's also
the rule has to be the rule.
There's also a physical toll that being president of the United States takes on somebody, right? Like you look at how, like, Barack Obama is a perfect example. Okay.
He was the first one that popped into my mind.
I hate to always bring him up, but you look at how young and vibrant and jovial he looked in 2008 when he was elected, making that big speech from Chicago, to his very last day in office. And I get it's 8 years, but it is a hard job. It is not easy.
Well, if you're doing it right, it's a hard job.
Well, yes, that's what I was going
to
say.
It's supposed to be a hard job. And I think two terms for a president, that's fine.
Yes.
I think when you're doing the Senate, 2 terms is plenty. That's still, that gives you over a decade.
It's 12
years. That's enough. Now it's time for somebody else to come in. You don't get to belly up, get in a district, and then just stay there hoping that you never, you know, because you spend all your time campaigning.
Right.
That's what they do.
Or campaigning not, and, because and you just assume that you're just going to be in that role because you've been there for so long. And here's the thing.
Could it be because your district's been gerrymandered?
Well, there you
so
go.
That
and
you
that's exactly what it is.
Right.
And I think what is fascinating about what you just said, Brian, is that this isn't just about their age. It also becomes about perspective. I mean, things change when you've been in office for as long as Chuck Grassley has representing Iowa. Technology, housing, student debt, workforce changes. All of those things shape how the people you represent live, and people in Washington don't keep up with that, right? They're not keeping up with
Chuck
that.
You think Chuck Grassley knows how much a gallon of milk is or how much gas is? You think Chuck Grassley's ever had to go out and try to – most of them have never had to try to find a real job.
Right.
You ever – oh, well, unemployment's low. It's only 3%. Yeah, Chuck, get out there and try to find a job at 3%, no matter how qualified you are, whether it's a minimum wage position or something more advanced. Try to find a job after you're 50, Chuck. You're not going to have any luck doing it. So, and the weird part about this, another, I said that older people and young people both support it. Gen X had the highest level of support for both term and age limits. And those are, again, if you're not familiar, late 40s to early 60s.
I'm a
so
Gen
people
X.
Who would, people who would be... affected by this age cap the most are the ones saying, yes, everybody can see it.
Right.
Everybody knows it. You can make all the arguments you want, but it just comes down. Perspective is a great point. Just physical ability is a great point. Cognitive, I don't care how sharp you are. There is always some level of cognitive decline. Some it's very minor. Some it's very major. We've seen it before. We're seeing it, I believe, a little bit now. But it's, come on.
Right.
It's a hard job. You shouldn't be dropping somebody in there who, you know, has to worry if they've had their Metamucil this morning.
We have several people chiming in on social media and on our text line this morning. John from Oshkosh, listening on WISS, says maybe an income limit on who can run. If you're a multimillionaire or billionaire, you should be barred from making policy you profit from. And he also agrees there definitely should be an age cap. Alicia says she agrees with the age cap and the money cap. Thank you for texting in on our YouTube chat this morning. Chad also over on YouTube saying, yes, we should have an age cap. Keith saying reforms formulated by the very people that need to be reformed. Oh, no. Let me be clear. When I say reforms, we're probably going to need some sort of commission that is put in by a different administration, and perhaps when there are more adults in the room from both sides of the party where they can actually come to some sort of agreement. I didn't say reforms are going to happen overnight. I believe they should, but it is going to take...
All right, where do you put the age? What's your cap?
For my cap?
What's your cap for... Do we have the same cap for president and... Congress, or do we have floating caps?
I would say it would, for me personally, I would probably cap it at somewhere between 65 and 70. Because as you pointed out, if you're 70, you get elected, you're done in 6 years, you're 76, you're almost pushing 80 at that point if you're a senator. I would like to see it at around 65 because that still takes you out of office and put somebody with fresh ideas, perhaps younger, in when you're in still in your early 70s. And for a lot of people, you could still go out, you could still do things, you could still work because I get, you know, some people in their early 70s. So I think about it like that. But 65, man, I don't know.
See, I'll kick it to 70.
Okay.
Where you have to be. If you're running for Senate, you know, if you're, you know, if you're at that age, you're only going to get to run for one term. So I'll go 70. Is the out the door age.
Yep.
So, you know, president, you got to run, it's 62 is the last one. Yes, I know, Parker. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you are having a great start to your Friday. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Are you getting ready to adopt a beagle pup from Ridgeland. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The story now, we've been following it with all the protests at Ridgeland Farms and the agreement that they made last week to sell roughly 1,500 beagles to rescue organizations, shelters, and rescues. Now the news story is all over the country. People are waiting coast to coast to rescue some of these beagles. None of them are available for adoption in Wisconsin yet. Your local shelters are saying, just be patient. It's coming. They're coming. These dogs will be out there howling at the moons and making all kinds of noise soon enough. But the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County, known as HAWS, expects up to 20 dogs to arrive the week of May 11th. So that's Monday. So next week, they're going to get there. The Dane County Humane Society is also preparing. They're going to get 50 of these, they're going to help facilitate the transfer, yeah. And they're going to get about 50 of the dogs. The animal shelter Paws in Chicago is also taking 25 of the beagles. So they're going to be out there.
Yeah.
Some or none. As of yesterday, none had been made available for adoption in the Wisconsin area yet because, well, they need
There's
to.
There's going
to
be some rehab,
to,
right?
Yeah, they got to decompress learn, these dogs.
They have
teach
to learn
them
to be dogs.
Grass.
They have to learn to be dogs.
Yes.
I think that's been my favorite part of watching these beagles be rescued and all of the different facilities across the country, because there are some facilities in the South, there's some in Florida, on the East Coast, in California that have taken some of these dogs. And I think that's my favorite part is watching them when they have these videos of the first time they do hit those play areas, or they actually get to interact with one another and with
humans.
Yeah,
they're running around. It is fun to see. It is fun to see them do that.
If you have any sort of heart whatsoever, you have to be touched. I don't care if you love animals, don't love animals. If you have any sort of heart for living things, you have to be excited to see these beagles actually see for the first time what it feels like to be a dog. Right.
Yeah, walk on grass. They've only been in cages. So they're getting even to walk just on the sidewalk and then to go on the grass and go, wow, what is this? And like you said, to interact with other dogs who they've only seen through cages and then have people to just play with rather than, you know.
So there's from what I've understood and seen from other shelters, you mentioned it, the rehab process for these dogs is probably for some of them going to be a little bit more extensive than others, depending on age and what their circumstances were. But essentially, they're learning how to be with people. They're learning how to sleep in a house. I was watching a video the other day on social media of a foster who got two of these beagles from this facility, and they wouldn't sleep in their cozy little beds. They'd never had that before. They don't know what the cozy, fluffy beds are. So they're still laying on the tile floor and on the hardwood. And they're trying to coax them and teach them that these are your toys. It's okay. You can sleep in this bed. You eat out of this bowl over here now. There's not just food thrown at you or however, you know, because it's all so new to these dogs. Yeah. So it's going to be
cool. It's almost like when you get a brand new puppy, you have to teach them everything. Sounds around the house, how to work stairs. I remember getting, you know, a couple of the dogs we got were very, very young when we adopted them. And stairs were like, they just stared at either the top or the – and even if they got to the top, then they couldn't figure out how to get to the bottom. And they just stared at the top of the stairs whining
and
like,
bark,
hey.
And bark and look down.
I don't know how to do this. So these are older, not seniors. All different ages, but so they have to learn all that stuff that by now you've probably learned if you have a dog.
If you've listened to this show before, you've maybe heard me mention that at one point I volunteered at an animal shelter and I got to be part of the offboarding process. Offboarding meaning as they come into the facility and we literally take them out of their kennels and you know, start the process of checking them in, getting the vets involved. So I've been involved in those processes and then being in the office as those facilities try to figure out where those animals are going to go, what foster is going to be best for that particular circumstance. Some of them have medical issues, so you need a different foster. Some of them are younger, so you need a different foster. So I've been part of that. And One of the things that I will say is, even with dogs coming out of circumstances like this, and I've been part of that offboarding for beagles out of medical facilities and labs, the thing that always struck me is beagles are so loving anyway. And that's part of the reason why beagles get wrapped up into the science of all of it, because they are so trusting. They are so loving. They are very compliant dogs. But I remember there would be times we'd take them out of their kennels and they're scared and they're shaking, and we'd have blankets and we'd wrap them up. And as soon as they felt that love, they would just melt into your chest, right? Like they would put their heads.
They finally feel safe.
Yep. They'd put their heads on our shoulders and they would just melt into us, to the point where it was hard to give them over, because you just wanted to continue to hold them because that's all they've ever wanted. They never felt it. And all of a sudden they had all this love and people were pouring it onto them. And it was always just the most amazing feeling. And so I really have enjoyed the circumstances. I get it. I didn't love the circumstances surrounding it. This, watching these dogs, though, now learn how to be dogs and be part of families is what's really, really awesome, because I've got to see the start of that.
Let's just hope they all get adopted. And yeah. I know in the immediate aftermath of the story, there's a lot of excitement. People are, this is how we got to do it. We're gonna adopt all these dogs. There's a lot of dogs out there. I'm a big adopt, don't shop guy when it comes to dogs. So if you're thinking of one of these beagles and you can't get one of these beagles, your shelters are probably full of really cool dogs that would be just as good as a beagle and need to be rescued just as much as these beagles. So that's my little soapbox to say, hey, if you're thinking about a dog, I know there's a nice status when you get this purebred dog. Mutts are really, really cool. All right, when we come back, it's the top of the hour, and that means stuff you need to know, and we will get to it. Big story out of UW-Madison and so much more. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson, 659, and you are listening to the Civic Media Network.
We move on to the last two segments of the first hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. We stay right here with Daybreak, with Brian and Jamie. No, the U.S. Navy does not have kamikaze dolphins, and yes, that is an official statement from the military leaders. But what does the Navy use dolphins for? Brian and Jamie will tell you all about it.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 8:35 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. In May of 2020, David Crowley became the youngest county executive in the history of Milwaukee County and the first black leader elected to serve in that role. Then, on April 2nd, 2024, County Executive Crowley was reelected to a second term with 85% of the vote. Well, now he's running for governor in a crowded Democratic field on a platform of what he calls Badger Basics. David Crowley joins us now to share some details of his plans. Mr. Crowley, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. For people outside of Milwaukee County who are just getting to know you during the campaign, give us a Cliff Notes version of who David Crowley is and why you're running for governor.
Absolutely. First and foremost, thank you for allowing me to join both of you, Brian and Jamie. I'm really glad to be here. But just to give folks a quick background, David Crowley, I am a husband. I always have to give my better three quarters a shout out. I am a girl dad times three. We call him the A-Squad, Alyssa, Ava, and Autumn. And I've been serving as the county executive for the past 6 years, but I also spent 7 years in the state capitol as a staffer and as a state representative, and Wisco boy through and through, but also had my share of challenges, right? I was evicted three times before graduating high school. Every single year for at least 15 years, we moved. And if it wasn't for our public education system, as well as AmeriCorps and a youth development organization, I wouldn't be standing in front of you today. So it's been an opportunity and a great opportunity to serve the residents here within Milwaukee County, and looking forward to serving the entire state of Wisconsin.
So let's take that experience of growing up in Milwaukee and talk about the Badger Basics, because it essentially focuses on affordability, care, opportunity. And when people hear that, it sounds like this broad plan, right? So what are some of the concrete changes that you would deliver so that families actually feel a difference with life in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it's important that when you have an elected leader, that they also understand the issues on the ground. And when I think about my background, my experience, It's about how do we create a much better foundation for families. And if folks are going to say this is too much, then we haven't been doing enough for families at all here in the state of Wisconsin. And so this is really about how do we become a healthy community? And health isn't just, you know, your mental and physical health. Health is more money in your pocket. Health is having an affordable roof over your head. Health is having access to public transit, to public education, to healthcare, childcare. And so we want to make sure that we're bringing that foundation across the entire state so that when the tide rises, the boat rides for every single community member.
Now, again, one of the platforms is affordability. And one of the things you've worked hard on in Milwaukee County is safe and affordable housing. Yes. Outside of Milwaukee County, how do you see that as Wisconsin as a whole? And how do you see it coming to fruition if you are, in fact, elected governor?
Well, what's unique in my current position is that, you know, we've been able to build affordable housing all across Milwaukee County. And what's unique is that it's all happening in suburban communities, communities that never had these types of projects before. And that's because we all should understand that affordable housing, attainable housing, isn't just needed in urban centers. It's needed in suburban communities and rural communities, not just in Wisconsin, but let's face it, across the entire country right now, especially with the rise of housing prices and rents. And so in order to do this across the entire state, one, we need to make sure that we are right-sizing the solutions to fit each community's needs. There is not a one-size-fits-all for the state of Wisconsin. And so working with local municipalities to create more zoning flexibility or more accessible dwelling units to have that level of density, but also making sure that there are resources available, you know, first-time home buyer assistance for individuals. And it's really working with the Wisconsin Housing Economic Development Authority and leveraging those dollars at the state level as well as at the federal level and working with those local municipalities to create more opportunities. This can help with our aging population. This can help with many of our students who have left their communities to go to school and looking to move back to be closer to their family. And so this is a real opportunity for us to focus on making sure that it's not just affordable, but attainable, because there are individuals who can't afford to buy a home, yet there's not enough supply in communities where they are looking to actually live.
We're talking with David Crawley this morning. He is currently the Milwaukee County Executive. He's also a Democratic gubernatorial candidate. You can check out more about Badger Basics over at crawley4wi.com. Now, as far as talking about affordability, energy costs, and we were talking about this prior to the show, if anybody's listening on the stream, you have asked, you're asking large users like these data centers that we're hearing so much about across the state to pay for the grid upgrades. What does that look like in practice, Mr. Crawley? And how do we actually ensure that everyday folks don't end up covering some of these costs anyway?
Well, we should all, one, be frustrated that the Wisconsin State Legislature literally left session without actually putting a framework in place, right, to protect not just people, but to protect our natural resources, protect our water, our land, and making sure that there's a framework. But in reality, one, we just recently seen that there was a PSC rate case with We Energies saying that they're going to pay 100% of the tariff, right? And so, you know, if they want to be here, they have to actually negotiate with us. And so if we're going to have a framework, it should be the most strict framework that we have in the entire country, not just 100% of the energy usage, but the upgrades to the infrastructure, the upgrades to the grid, but more importantly, bringing on more clean energy infrastructure. The best energy is the energy that we don't have to pay for. And that comes from solar. That also comes from wind. And so we want to see how we can leverage this to actually stabilize and make sure that our energy is reliable for every single user across the state of Wisconsin. But if they're also going to pay into Focus on Energy, which we all pay into to bring on more clean energy infrastructure. Well, if there is an excess of dollars there, I truly believe that we should be using that to pay down the rates of every single utility ratepayer here in the state, because the community benefits shouldn't just be in the communities that these data centers are in. It should be a community benefit for every single municipality in Wisconsin.
David, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about this. There was a lot of news last week about a memo that was leaked reportedly from the Tom Tiffany campaign. It was referencing one of your opponents in the race. How do you react to that whole story?
We lose audio?
Oh, did we lose him?
Do we have you still, Mr. Crowley?
Up. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
We got you.
I couldn't hear you, Brian.
Okay. So last week there was a big news story about this report, this memo that was reportedly leaked from the Tiffany campaign. It was about one of your opponents. How do you react to that whole thing? Still can't.
I'm sorry. I'm having bad connection issues.
Oh, no worries. Can you hear us at all?
Can you hear us now? Yes? No? Uh-oh. I bring up the memo and big technology. It's big technology taking us out. Parker, why don't you...
I'll work on that.
Are you back? No, Mr. Crowley's laughing. Take Mr. Crowley off. See if you can get him fixed up. David Crowley is our guest. Crowley for WI.com. Weird. Another coincidence, Jamie.
It was a weird coincidence.
I don't believe in coincidences. You know this. No gotcha. I do have the weird question ready.
You do have the weird question. Okay.
The things that
sometimes you don't know about your elected officials.
The human question that they have no idea.
Oh, because you know we
not
also
a,
have to,
again not a gotcha, just a
no,
fun little
it's,
thing.
We always have to
Parker
remember
is working hard
our elected
him.
Officials are also human, so it's fun to find that human side of them once in a while as well.
Yeah, he's girl dad.
He is a girl dad.
A little update. What's going on, buddy?
Looked like he just hopped out of the studio. I'm trying to get him connected with our phone line.
Okay. All right. Well,
that'll be great. We'll keep padding.
We will.
But yes, it is like as I looked at David Crowley's website and I looked at his plan, it all seems based on what we talk about all the time. And I'm sure a lot of the candidates are going to talk to the people about the issues that mattered to them the most. I think we have David Crowley back. Can you hear us now, sir? No?
No, yes? No audio.
All right, I am back, but it's a little choppy.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
We'll make it work.
I'm going to try this question again because I think someone is conspiring against us to get this answer. The memo that was released reportedly from Tom Tiffany's campaign about one of your opponents, how do you react to that whole story?
What was the story? I'm sorry. I got the end of it.
The memo about Francesca Hong that Tom Tiffany's, the alleged leak from that office. How do you respond to that? What were your feelings about it when you started hearing this story?
I mean, the way that I respond to that, I think, is that, you know, every candidate is going to do everything that they can to focus on who they want to be able to run after. But also, you know, they have always been focusing on, you know, different types of candidates. They've attacked me in different types of ways. They've attacked, you know, other candidates in many different types of ways. But my focus is really running my campaign, right? This is about how we talk to voters all across the state of Wisconsin, not just about the promises that we want to deliver for them, right? But it's also about making sure that we can actually do the work. And when I think about me being in this race, is about focusing on the results that we have delivered for every single community.
And David, along those lines, this is a really crowded primary, right? For on the Democratic side, Tom Tiffany obviously been the front runner for the Republicans for a while now. And with so many undecided voters, I'm going to assume that it's going to, be more crossing the state, talking to more people. But how do you really reach out to those undecided voters right now as the August primary approaches?
Well, I mean, as you pointed out, the only person leading in the polls are undecided voters. Mm-hmm. And we have to go and really reach and talk to people. And it's not, you know, when people say, you know, I want to be there for you, it's not just about physically being there. It's about making sure that people actually have a seat at the table to lend their voices to the solutions that's going to work for their communities. I've always been told, especially as an organizer, that if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. And there are many communities all across the state of Wisconsin that feel like they've been dictated to versus giving them a seat to be able to talk about the issues that are directly impacting them. And so the way that we do this is, you know, I still have my day job running Milwaukee County, mm-hmm. but we are crisscrossing all over the state, taking the scenic route to talk to as many people as possible, doing different town halls, talking to different party members. And quite frankly, you know, the message is absolutely catching fire. And as we talk and engage with more voters, more and more people are paying attention to the Crowley campaign.
And if you want to learn more about David Crowley's campaign, the Badger Basics and all the rest, it's CrowleyForWisconsin.com. All right, David, before we let you go, we got about a minute left. A question that came up on the show yesterday, not political at all, or is it? What's your most hated sports franchise?
Did we lose it?
Oh, my most.
There we go.
Your most hated sports franchise. Who do you
say my most what?
Hated sports franchise.
My most hated sports franchise. Well, you know, I am a Packer. And so I can't stand the Chicago Bears.
All right, fair enough. That answer came up a lot yesterday on the show. Thank you for being honest. No hard feelings. David Crowley is a current Milwaukee County executive. He is running for governor of the state of Wisconsin on the Democratic ticket. Go to Crowley4WI.com to get all his information. David, thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great rest of your day.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. That's a great song, Parker. Nicely done.
I feel like a dolphin when I hear this.
Surf music.
Yeah.
I feel like, why does it make you feel like a dolphin? Do I want to know?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Gives dolphin
if
vibes.
If you don't, I do. So,
okay, all right.
Whatever. I feel like I'm jumping out of the waves.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Really? Yeah, right? Yeah. Nice tie-in. I always feel like I'm in Pulp Fiction.
There you go.
When I hear that song.
That's true.
It's a good song.
That's a good point as well.
It's a good song.
So here's the question. Are military dolphins working in the Strait of Hormuz? That's how there was a movie back in the day about bombs being strapped to dolphins and stuff. So it's not far-fetched. And the answer is, well, probably not. But the U.S. Navy has been using dolphins. Oh, we've enlisted Flipper. He also doesn't have an exit strategy for this war. But we've been using them for decades. So yesterday, our Secretary of Defense, Whiskey Pete Hegseth, was asked whether Iran might turn to dolphins to help confront the U.S. Navy. Now, I don't know if dolphins have nationalities. I don't know if dolphins would be loyal to Iran over the U.S. I don't know anything about that. But according to Whiskey Pete, he said he could confirm that Iran did not have dolphins. This is the most serious administration ever. I can confirm. How do you confirm that they don't have dolphins to deploy as part of the operations? He said he would neither confirm nor deny whether we have kamikaze dolphins. This is true, folks. I wish I was making this up.
This feels like
because I'd sell this script and it would be great.
This feels like something that should be on the front page of the Inquirer. Like, does it not? Like,
Pete Hegseth cannot confirm or deny the existence of kamikaze dolphins.
That's what it feels like. This is a real story, though. We're having a real conversation this morning, which I don't know. Maybe that should scare me even more. I'm not sure, but.
No, you should be. This is from CNN. So, depending on your frame of reference, a reputable news source, RIP Ted Turner. But, So, first of all, could we just say if we don't have kamikaze dolphins, are you really tipping your hand in military strategy to go, no, of course we don't have kamikaze dolphins.
No.
We have sniper gorillas, but we do not have kamikaze dolphins. Well, One source familiar with U.S. operations in the Strait of Hormuz told CNN that the U.S. military is not using dolphins as part of its efforts on the Strait, but they are cute as hell. No, wait, that was me editorializing. The U.S. Navy does, in fact, have a decades-old program to train dolphins to help detect mines. It's called the Marine Mammal Program. It's part of the Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance Department within Naval Information Warfare Center Pacific.
Which I think is fascinating. I think
I
that
do as
part
well.
Is fascinating. What I love about this is that the department, though, it had to be made clear that these dolphins are not actually kamikaze dolphins, in that they do not sacrifice their lives to go out and detonate mines. Instead, they're focused on detection. They had to make this clear after Pete Hegseth's comments yesterday, and they had to make sure that this was put out in an official release that they are not kamikaze dolphins.
We're not strapping a bomb vest to Flipper, and after he comes up and jumps through the hoop and does a couple of flips and splashes
and
down, he detonates.
Echolocation and no, we're not actually. We're not. What I also love is that a senior engineer at RAND, who previously worked in the now decommissioned U.S. Navy Mine Warfare Command, told CNN this quote. "We use marine mammals to help detect objects underwater and to protect ports by detecting intruders. So it's not the day of the dolphin."
That's the film that I was referencing, where they did strap bombs to dolphins. And they were now, porpoises, on the other hand, we will sacrifice all the porpoises. Dolphins? No. Porpoises, because porpoises, let's be honest, more streamlined, more in keeping with a torpedo. So you could shoot a porpoise out of a warship with a bomb, and it would go, and then boom. And the great thing about porpoise bombs, they flip right up onto the deck, so they do the optimal amount of damage when you shoot them at an enemy.
Does it make you feel better, though? And I know the answer to this. Does it make you feel better, though, that we have to put out an official statement on kamikaze dolphins because our Department of Defense, our Secretary of the Department of Defense, says that we for sure have kamikaze dolphins? Does it make
you
feel better?
Well, he will neither confirm nor deny, Jamie. So, I'm glad we have responsible scientists. Once again, these scientists ruining everybody's fun by saying, take a vaccine or no, we don't strap bombs to dolphins.
And by the way, this program with dolphins has been around since 1959, and it's focused on training bottlenose dolphins and California sea lions to detect and recover objects underwater. Now, according to the Marine Mammal Program's webpage, dolphins, quote, possess the most sophisticated sonar known to science. Well, yeah, you have to find your way around underwater, and you use echolocation to do so. That's pretty that's pretty kick butt, let's be honest. And underwater drones, this is also on the page, are no match for the animals' efforts to open the strait. So that has to be put right on the homepage.
No matter how much cloak and dagger intrigue the Secretary of Defense wants to add to this question, not confirming nor denying the existence of kamikaze dolphins, we do not have them.
No. Sometimes things are just cool and they are what they are.
Yeah, they're just out there. They can be looking, but they're not using them now. That's the thing. And Iranian dolphins are the same as U.S. dolphins or any dolphin. They're just out there.
Right.
I've been lucky enough to be on a boat when a pod of dolphin is swimming next to the boat. It is the coolest thing in the world.
Very cool.
All right, listen, on that note, I am going to go work on a kamikaze dolphin program, so I cannot stay here and talk to you any longer.
It's your undercover
operation. The show is over. I am done. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being part of the show. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Thursday. You're listening to the Civic Media Network.
It's Flipper. Run!
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.